You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome in to the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Anthony Correnti, joined by my co-hosts, Ryan Sirfoss and Eric Adams. Gentlemen, how are you feeling today? Ryan, you're back.
I'm back.
Full recovery.
Full recovery. Yeah. Sorry, I was sick. It was embarrassing. But yeah, it's draft season now.
It's embarrassing to get
how
sick.
How dare you get sick?
I literally feel embarrassed when I'm sick. I don't know why. It's really stupid, but I'm embarrassed about it because I always claim that I don't get sick.
Well, you're safe with us.
Yeah, and I was penned out for like 4 days, 5 days, like just dead to the world. So it's cool to be back.
Well, like the Undertaker, you have risen from the dead.
Yeah, maybe nobody was expecting it, and this could be like the grand return, like a pop nobody was expecting to have.
Dude,
yeah.
my back didn't even bend when I lifted up. Just straight.
All right. Well, on today's show, we're going to be discussing kind of how to go about rebuilding a dynasty roster, whether it's a, you know, an orphan team that you've taken over recently, something you've torn down yourself, or maybe just a team that needs kind of that last extra push into becoming a contender. Before we get into that, just a reminder that this is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed totally ad-free, and all that we ask in return is that you please leave us a 5-star rating and check out our written content over at si.com/NFL/draft. So let's call it the offseason blueprint. Where do you start when you know, you're assessing a roster and what kind of draft capital you've either got currently or maybe inherited from whoever the previous manager was on that team? What's kind of step one for you, Foss? Why don't you kick us off and we'll kind of go from there?
My first step I normally do is kind of just go through the roster, see how I finished last year. If it's a team that I had, did I finish top three? Did I make the championship? Did I miss the playoffs? And then I go to figure out why and how I can fix whatever it is. Like, if I miss the playoffs, did I miss it close? And why? Like, I got to figure out where my weaknesses on my team are, what I can improve either quickly or if it's worth improving quickly for, you know, try to put some duct tape on the holes of the ship or if we're trying to go a complete teardown. So I'm seeing what young stars I have, who are my building block players, and then, like, the surrounding cast from there. Like, this point in time, I'm shooting mainly upside when I'm building a roster. And I'm looking for my top-tier talent and see where I can go from there. If that makes sense. I feel like it did, but I ramble sometimes.
No, it did. You're good.
Eric, what do you think?
I mean, I agree with him. I definitely want to find the building blocks and who I can move forward with. The problem, if it's an orphan team, the problem with that for me is I usually let what happens in the NFL from post-Super Bowl through the draft, through the offseason, that usually is what makes up my plan for that particular season, even if it's only Dynasty. This is not even just for redraft. So it's tough to look at certain players and in January and February and be like, all right, I want to move forward with these guys, and I could feel good about them going into the year. That can change very quickly in April to July and August. That's the difficult thing. So identifying the guys who, okay, this is a situation proof player that I can keep and maybe not even keep, but I can maximize return with or be very confident knowing that he's on my team and I could utilize him in whichever way I choose. So finding those players and identifying them, I think that's the most important.
That's kind of my, when I said, like, the building block guys. Yeah. Like, if I have a Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson on my team, there's literally nothing I can get in return that's going to be better than them. Like, from an age and talent perspective, there's no real way to improve on that situation with guys like that. And even for the each other one, whoever you like more, it's kind of a lateral move. But, like, I'm looking for the guys like that to build around who are still super young. We know the upside. A lot of times it's going to be receiver because they just last longer.
Yeah.
Like, if the you're one contender, is Jonathan Taylor worth it?
Right. So I was just going to say, that even aside from, like, moving a running back, aside from guys like Taylor that you know are young studs, what Eric had said about like the time frame between from like post Super Bowl through, you know, free agency, draft, training camp, all that stuff. We go through this weird thing where like if somebody takes over an orphan now that has one of these other, you know, I don't even want to call them old running backs, but say you've got, you know, Dalvin Cook or one of those guys, they go through this weird like value depression. Like through winter and, you know, oh, he's old and it's not what he is and sell, sell, sell. And then when we get closer to football, like he could still be good. You know, it's not like these guys are 30 years old. So I think that'll be interesting this year for guys like Dalvin Cook, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, who were like consensus first round startup picks, that do they get dealt in the offseason either by whoever buying or selling that come football time, we're like, oh, these guys are still good at football.
Yep. Buy the dip.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Another thing. By the dip,
it's kind of jumping the gun on something we were talking about later. But like guys like that, if I'm a rebuild, I'm not trading them now. I'm waiting until closer to the season when people need running backs.
Yep.
Yeah,
like a lot of that's timing. But yeah, that's what you evaluate your team when you're putting your blueprint together. Not only you want to find your talent, like when's the best time to move your talent or to go after guys. Like right now, we have the highest price for CJ and Waddle. There's probably going to be a dip this offseason to buy him, whether it's a stupid rumor or something. But like, we're at a high power on him. It's just sit back and wait. Last year, we saw it with Jamar Chase where he couldn't catch the football, and you had like a 2 week point in time where you buy him. And then it's poof, gone forever.
I'll never forget those 2 weeks when the internet decided Jamar Chase wasn't good at football.
But like, that's the kind of shit you have to like. Keep in mind with this because we have these cycles for almost everybody every year.
Yeah. We talked about, you know, you mentioned briefly about guys like Chase and Justin Jefferson. And like we had talked about privately the other day, the kind of ludicrous offer it takes to get the, you know, discussion started on trading one of those guys if you roster him currently. Is it like a slam dunk when you're building a team that you want it to be built around stud young wide receivers? Because that's how I feel. You know, I mean, it's, I don't think it's crazy. I want good running backs, but if you can be lucky enough to be rostering one of those high end guys like Chase Jefferson, you know, start splitting hairs from there, whoever you like after those two. But is wide receiver where you go first to build out the roster, or do you look anywhere else?
Honestly, I used to say the opposite, but I think it is. I think these really high end wide receivers are so consistent now on this week to week basis, the way we're passing and running backs being devalued, I think it is the way to build up rosters to get these high-end guys. And the nice thing is, if you time it right, you can get them for running backs. But, yeah, I'd take those guys, like Lamb, still take Davante Adams high. After that, I might be starting to get a little bit wary, but those guys are people you build around. And you're cool with for 5 years.
I would definitely build around right receiver, and then after that, I also want a stud quarterback. I want a top 11 quarterback, regardless of format. The top 11 quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins had 300 fantasy points this year, and the next closest was 268. I want a top quarterback. That's the next spot I would go with. I will start everyone's garbage. At running back, I'll start James Robinson. I'll start Leonard Fournette. I'll start Damian Harris. I don't care. I'll get by with that as long as I got studs at wide receiver and quarterback. I'll make it work.
I got to be honest. I think Leonard Fournette's a buy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
Because you like it's going to happen with him. Like, not that he's the same, you know, gets mentioned in the same breath as the guys like Saquon and Christian McCaffrey, but we're getting just a couple weeks removed from like seeing how good he's been this past season. I wouldn't be surprised he runs it back one more year there. Like, he's got a good thing going in Tampa.
We'll get to the offseason and we'll tack on like four more years to his age like we always do, and everyone will think he stinks again. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to take him in the 11th round. He's going to be a RB1, so thanks.
Yeah. But Eric, so if you want a top 11 quarterback, regardless of format, how many top quarterbacks do you want if it's Superflex?
I just need one. I just need one when it comes to Superflex. Then at QB2, this is gonna, a lot of people are going to give me the side eye with this. I'm okay not starting a quarterback in that second slot. Like, if my second best quarterback is, you know, like a Carson Wentz, or like
poor Carson.
I'm sorry, but he's the first person that popped up in my head. Jimmy G,
Carson Wentz ricochet shot.
Yeah, like Matt Ryan this year. Like, if it's one of those guys, I'm not just gonna force start them if I have somebody better to start. Like, I'm not. People have to understand that. I see a lot of these people in Superflex. They're like, oh, I have to start a quarterback in that second slot, no matter how crappy he is. Like, some people are throwing Ben Roethlisberger out there when they're playing, you know, in the Kansas City game. Like, come on, really? That you could do better than that. You could do a lot better than that. So, I'm not forcing my second quarterback there, but I do want at least one.
Dude, I think that some, like, even one QB you mentioned about it being important. I think it's much more important than most people give it credit for, because you want as many set forget things as you can. And QB is something you can still get fairly cheap, because everybody wants the other positions, and they'll be fine taking a little bit of a dip at the quarterback position. So,
there is a kind of a weird value thing with quarterbacks in Superflex, because of what you said, Eric, that like people are just so browbeaten into like, I need to start two quarterbacks.
Yeah,
when it's not like a start two quarterback format, right? Like, sure, you can. That was the whole point, I think. Yeah. But yeah, I think the two ways to look at it are, you know, like go super heavy quarterback and just try and dominate the position. Or I like what you had said. Like, I want a good one. And then, you know, I feel like I could fade it a little bit. And
yeah, we can make do with that second spot.
Yeah.
Right. I'm cool with having one elite guy and let it roll.
I feel good in Superflex if I have one elite guy, a quarterback that I can like that I can fairly consistently start matchup based, and then like a third guy that's like maybe something happens,
right?
Or you know, like a decent bye week fill in if nothing else, depending on how big the benches are.
Take a home run swing in Zach Wilson, maybe he'll pop.
Boom.
Or any of Lash.
You're preaching to the choir. But or by any of the Zach Wilson.
Or any of last year's quarterbacks. Like, they're
agreed.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
The other thing's tight end, which is the huge issue now for the dynasty. Like,
I don't even know how to go about tight end. You're on your own. good
it's
luck.
It's a mess.
It is. And the more I think about it, the more I want one of those top guys.
Right.
Here's the thing, though, about that. I don't want to pay what it costs to get any of them besides Kyle Pitts, who nobody's going to trade you.
Yep.
Like, Kyle Pitts, the value has already also reached, like, the Jamar Chase, Justin. Like, you're not trading for Kyle Pitts. It's not going to happen. And I don't want to pay, like, I don't want to say unequivocally, like, no chance I'm going to pay to trade for guys like, you know, Kelce, Waller, Hockenson, whoever, Kittle, but I don't know. I just think,
or the true tight end one on the season, Mark Andrews.
Dude, you know what's funny? Out of all those guys you named, I feel like I could trade for Mark Andrews over any of them.
Right?
Yeah. Who's still only 25 years old and just finished as the wide receiver, the tight end one. And is Lamar's top target. Like, and we saw he's quarterback proof. Like, I don't understand why him at 25 is still being valued where he is when he's been nothing but healthy and produced.
That's a fair point. It is a fair point. All right, talking about acquiring guys in that kind of mold, if you're a team that's like on the edge of contention, or you know, maybe you've gone through a bit of the rebuild, you're ready to kind of go and push the chips in on trying to make it happen. What are you doing draft pick wise, Eric? I guess give me your thoughts. How willing are you to trade picks if it's like you haven't really consistently won to become a championship contender in your league? Like, when are you close enough to start dealing off like early rookie picks to acquire veterans?
Well, I am all for veterans over rookies. Yep. And I also think that what comes into play is the incoming rookie class, doing your research on that. If we're talking about this year, if I have the 101, I'm sending it to someone else. And I'm either moving back to accumulate picks, or I'm taking as close to a stud as I can get with the 101. I feel like this year's 101 might not be as valuable as in past years, but that's what I'd do. I'd go after veterans. I'm not in with the whole like rookie wait and see thing. I don't even know if there's going to be that many impact guys right away this year. I'll take the guy that's already ready now, especially if you're about to be a contender or are a contender. I'll take the guy who's going to help me right away.
Well, that's a good question. Like, where's your cutoff for the 101? Like, would you trade the 101 hypothetically for Javonte Williams?
Yes.
Would you trade the 101 for J.K. Dobbins?
Yes, probably.
Oh, man, okay. These are the cusp. These are literally about, on the cusp.
I know. How about Cam Akers?
These are literally all three on the line. I can go either way.
That one, I wouldn't have a problem with somebody doing it. It's the one I'm least sure about. And that could really change in the next week.
How about Saquon?
I am on the fence with all of these, and if you blow me left or right, we're going to end up on an adult site, and I'm going to fall over somewhere. So I don't know, man. I think I'd probably take Saquon for the 101, even though it's been a rough year. They got a new coaching staff coming in. I think I'll take all those guys for the 101.
How about, like, McLaurin?
No.
You wouldn't take McLaurin?
No. Okay. Let's not turn this into an Austin Eckler thing. All right, that's not what this is.
Okay, how about Debo?
I like Terry McLaurin.
Debo? I feel better about those two than the other four.
Okay. Yes for Debo. Not to turn this into a whole Terry McLaurin.
You don't trust Washington, do you?
I don't trust Washington, and I think Terry McLaurin might just be what he's been. And that's not bad, but I think he's a wide receiver too.
Okay,
I'm done calling for the top 12 Terry McLaurin breakout. Like, I don't think we're getting it. I think he's a top 24 guy, which is fine. But I think even if you had the 101 and you wanted to draft one of those receivers, I think there's a chance one of those guys could be more.
I just want to see Terry with a quarterback better than Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah, agreed.
For sure.
Then we can see.
I agree. Yes.
Then we can see what happens.
But, like, think about years past the 101. You're not getting that. You're not trading the 101 for those guys.
There's no Jamar Chase in this class. As much as I like the wide receivers, there's no guy that's right like that. There's not even a Waddle in this class, to be honest. I would take Waddle over all these guys.
I agree.
So, I think if you have the 101, it's definitely a trade back situation this year.
I prefer
trade back or trade for vets. Yeah.
I would prefer to trade back and have like two late round firsts.
Yeah,
I feel like I'd be more better about that. I like this class. I just don't like having the 101 because I don't know who I'm taking at 101.
Yeah,
I'd feel better if I had like the 103 or 4 and people can make that decision for me.
Back end of round one is going to be sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Like that there's going to be some really good players there and some of that extra burden is taken off of you.
Yeah, that's the sweet spot.
The interesting thing is, though, like we say this now about the 101, but it's only going to go up in value, right? Like,
yeah,
happens
like,
every year.
I'm not trading if I own it. I'm not trading it now.
Yeah, you can't do
like,
it.
Like, literally, I would trade it on draft day.
I was about to say, I trade it the day
or as
before.
Close to it as.
Yeah, I mean,
as close to it as I can.
I don't know how you guys feel, but for me, it's still like I'm still in a window where I feel like I can acquire picks if need be. Like, it's not totally cost prohibitive yet. Like,
and
it's
I'm still
coming,
trying to.
But yeah.
Like I'll say, most of my teams where I was a contender or made the playoffs, I don't have many draft picks. It's just how I play.
Mm-hmm.
But you always end up getting some. Like, I don't think I have a first round pick in any league, any dynasty league I'm in for the next 3 years.
But I think some people get like turned off from playing that way because they think of it. I'm not saying not to think about it in like short term windows, but sometimes people get so put off from trading a future pick, like they don't really consider that there's time to get the pick back. You know what I mean? Like it's just such like a liquid thing that I feel like it's fine to trade picks because there's always a plan to try and get picks back. In theory, if it goes horribly wrong, then yeah, you know, the bottom falls out and you got no picks and bad players, and it's a long road up from there. All right, how so go ahead.
One more pot. Waddle or Devontae Smith?
Devontae Smith.
Yeah, Devontae Smith.
I just want to put he's ADP 35. So he is wide receiver 18 ADP.
He is it's unfortunate for him that he came out and had to deal with this Jamar Chase year and Waddle going 100 catches for 1,000 yards because Devontae Smith was almost at 1,000 yards, but on, you know, 60-some catches.
Yeah.
Like, if we could get Devontae Smith getting the targets that Jalen Waddle's getting, wheels up. Like, he is very good.
He just needs a better quarterback.
Boom. We got Wentz on one side. We got Jalen Hurts on the other. We ricocheted both sides of that.
Carson deserved it. Jalen Hurts doesn't deserve it.
I'm going back on COVID reserve.
The brand.
I'm going back on COVID reserve.
He's back on the COVID
reserve. All right. Well, let's talk about teams that you're full-blown rebuild, can't contend. I guess step one is, you know, how big is the rebuild? Like, can you retool it in just a year or so, or is it going to take you longer than that? How good's the player have to be off limits? Like, who are you selling? What are you doing to try and salvage when the roster's at rock bottom?
We're going to be honest, Vikings rock bottom. There's three guys I don't think I'm trading, and that's it. Probably just two, if we're to be honest. And that's Jefferson and Chase. Like, I don't know how I can trade them. But in most cases, I normally shoot, does this person have a chance to be top five in the position? And are they under 26 years old? Under 25 years old? Like, those are my two questions. If they are yes, I'm probably keeping them. Have to be yes to both. If they're not, I'm fine with moving them.
Like, yeah, the young guys.
I need to be 90% confident that player could be a top five in their position.
Yeah. The young guys that are building blocks, guys like Josh Allen, Herbert, Mahomes, Jefferson, Chase, young guys, Tom Brady, those guys, I'll keep those guys.
Yeah, I'm probably not moving young QBs unless it's super flex. Like, yeah. In standard one QB, you're not going to get enough in a trade for a quarterback where it's worth moving. But, yeah, almost other than, like, this really young superstars, nobody's off limits.
If I had Jonathan Taylor, I'd sell the farm for him.
Yeah, I would sell him.
I would have a farm.
And you can ask anything you want for Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, you know, trading for Saquon or CMC a couple of years ago. But like
the thing, the one thing is when people hear that though, and you see this a lot when you're on social media when people show trades, especially like this time year a little bit later, is when they sell somebody like Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, Christian McCaffrey, they sell them just to get a good value out of them. Sell them to get a great value, like. Yeah, just because one or two people sent you an offer for that person doesn't mean you have to take it. Be greedy. Like, take a trade that's unfair because you're going to get it. Like, I'm not saying fleece the guy, but
fleece him.
Fleece him.
Yes.
Like, you're not giving away Jonathan Taylor for two firsts and freaking Joe Mixon. No, I want the farm for him.
All right, so what's it cost? What's it cost to get Jonathan Taylor off your roster?
I'm starting at three firsts.
That's more than I thought. That's more than I was going for. I would have said a first this year, and it has to be a top probably a top three or four pick.
Nope.
A first next year, a second this year, and then I want a player that is probably at the top 12 in his position.
I'm talking,
and we can talk.
I'm talking 2 to 3 firsts and somebody like Deebo Samuel.
Yep.
Yeah. You're like, you.
Yeah. Like
I want
I'm
that
not,
farm.
I'm not yeah. giving away Jonathan Taylor for cheap. And guess what? You know what? If I don't move him now, teams are contending in the playoffs. They're trying to buy a championship.
Yep.
And it's week 10. And you know what? The number one or the number two team thinks they're close. And they're Jonathan Taylor away from the championship. I bet you get more than you'd get for those three firsts right now.
Yeah.
And I have no problem waiting and being patient. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm not, for a guy like him, a guy like a DK Metcalf, I'm not taking anything short of a terrible deal. And I don't feel bad saying that because it's true. You, for guys like that, you have to get your full value out of it, especially if you're not winning with that player. You better get something out of it. You're not winning, you better win that trade.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I'm not condoning bad trading because I think trading should be fair for both sides. But if you have Jonathan Taylor or somebody like him,
you have to get above market value.
You have to get above market value.
Like, right? Like, it's
we're in
you have to go out and we're in a recession.
We're in a recession, guys. You got to get your nut.
Yeah, I don't think you have to get an offer from somebody and then post it in the chat like, hey, this is what Eric offered me. Who wants to beat it? But you also don't owe anybody taking a short deal on
nope.
an elite player. Like, nobody's telling anybody to cheat, but that's the name of the game, Return good value and make smart trades for you.
That's the name of the game. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, Rubin's racing.
I want that I want that farm to come with a cow, a couple pigs, and some chickens. It's got to be stacked.
And moving a guy like that's how you get a rebuild really quickly.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can do a year rebuild if you have a player like that to flip, long as you're not an idiot about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what would sell right now? Javonte Williams.
I was about to say, when we were talking earlier, who we could flip, yeah, he was the first person that came to mind.
Yeah, it's crossed my mind in a couple places where I have him, but I also really like the player.
So do I, but you know who the Chargers really like? Or, I'm sorry, the Broncos really like? Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
He ain't going nowhere.
Twitter, when he resigns, is going to be a bad place.
And I'm gonna gobble up Javonte Williams.
Yeah. Okay, so would you? Yeah, that's the time to get to Javonte Williams. Not now. Obviously, you'd trade Williams for less than you'd trade Taylor for. I'm assuming.
Oh yeah,
not right now. Right now, you're getting that kind of value out of him. So why don't you?
You think
three firsts plus?
Oh my god!
I bet you're getting
every share of him right now for three firsts.
I would too. Oh my god! I bet you get two firsts for him right now.
Do you think you could get two firsts plus
DJ Moore?
If you say anything, I'm taking.
Yeah.
It. You can offer me a bag of Skittles, firsts. And I'll be like, "Yeah, I think I'm going to do that."
I bet you get two firsts of someone like Deontay Johnson.
I would do it 100%.
That's a really tempting deal. Yeah, that's a two firsts.
But the thing is, when you're looking at your rebuild like this, look at these players like the stock market. Like, is this player the highest people are going to be in the next 9 months? Is there a dip? Is there make a freaking plan?
I love the exact.
Figure out when you want to sell people.
Yes, and I love for a team in rebuild. I love kind of the exact opposite side of that, bell curve selling the top end guys. If my team's bad, I'm going to throw all the really late round picks at every post hype player I can. I'm not even as in on them as a lot of other people were, but I'm going to try and buy some cheap LaVisca Chenault this offseason because I think the hype will be died down a bit and it's worth a shot for me. And I think those are buy low gets said, way too much. And I think sometimes we say it about players that it doesn't make sense for, buy low on Jerry Jeudy or something like that. buy low to me is like go trade for a guy that it feels gross to go trade for this guy. You know, like it feels gross to trade a third or a fourth rounder, and like maybe it hits, but it probably doesn't. Like those are some fun moves, I think, if you're trying to rebuild a team. And they don't work out more often than not, but every once in a while, just got to hit a couple.
Yep.
And then, like, especially go after backups for those late picks, like Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah.
Guess what? Chuba Hubbard, you spend late second, early third on him now. CMC goes down next year. Some of these running backs are a contender. You're not. Boom, you get first. Like, yeah. Easy first. That, like, buy up things that could go up. I like that.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, you guys have anything else that you want to add before we wrap it on up here, put a bow on it?
I'd say make yourself a hot list for like on your teams like this, as nerdy as it sounds, either like a Google Sheets with like list of the players you want to acquire or get rid of. And like just kind of follow them and see what could happen, whether they either keep that buyer or the seller area. Like have a legit game plan and just don't be afraid to make deals that may not look great if you believe in it.
Ryan gave the thoughtful answer. I'm going to give the the outlandish answer here. If you're going to take on an orphan, and it could be the ugliest looking orphan you can ever see in your life, you go out there and you be Daddy Warbucks, people. All right? Yeah. You take that ugly redheaded orphan and you bring her to your house and she stinks and you got to give her a bath. But then you turns out you put her in a red dress. She could sing and dance. All of a sudden you got money. That's why you're Daddy Warbucks. Okay, go be Alfred. Take your depressed. No, that one's not going to work. Never mind. Don't turn your orphan into a killing vigilante. That would be bad. Be Daddy.
But why not? People.
I don't know if you want to go through that trauma. He's afraid of bats.
You turn him into Jason Todd. We're going for killers around here.
That's even worse. He uses guns. He got killed by the Joker, only not really. No. We're not being Jason Todd. We can't do that.
Be Thanos.
We gotta bring.
Yes.
We gotta bring that to the movie theater. Jason Todd. Put it on the silver screen.
Yeah, I guess the last thing I would have is sometimes like while the value and stuff is always important and trying to capitalize on when values are high versus when they're low. I think sometimes, you know, like Ryan said, if you got a list of guys you like, you know, sometimes you got to overpay. Like, can't fleece everybody, like we said before. No. Sometimes you got a guy you want to get, it's worth paying up to get him. And sometimes get him cheap. And
I'd give three firsts for Ja'Marr Chase right now.
Yep. Yeah, me too.
Honestly, I'd probably give every draft pick next 2 years.
Now we're talking.
Like, I'm, maybe 3 years. I'm being dead serious. I'd do that.
Throw in Javonte Williams, and we got to do that.
I am Javonte Williams is really going to be an interesting thing this offseason, because it really could go from multiple firsts now to if Melvin Gordon resigns. Oh man, it could plummet.
I can't wait to buy him later this year.
Didn't he have like 12 carries for 20 something yards in his last game there? Are we really like ready for Javonte Williams to be that guy that like people are saying? I don't know if we're there yet.
I'm just saying his ADP is above Najee Harris now.
See, I'll never be comfortable with.
I'd still take Najee Harris over him. Definitely. I want Najee over him. I want DeAndre Swift over him. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor. But after that, it starts, I think, getting close.
And we can talk.
Yeah.
And we can talk.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. So that'll do it for this episode. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We're going to be back with more of the Dynasty Draft Room next week, but be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear from our friends on the Prospect Profits for everything that you need to know regarding college football and the NFL draft. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Later, taters.